Hi, love. I'm Nicole Weston, and you are listening to Redefining Motherhood More Than Moms. In this community, we focus on creating a safe and sacred space for us to cultivate loving, gentle, and compassionate relationships with ourselves first, so that we can be present in our relationships with our partner and children and be the best mom we can be. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode on Redefining Motherhood. Today is such a special conversation that I am having with Natalie. Let me tell you a little bit about her. She is a career-driven person, and she has been a stay-at-home mom, for a little while. But she also knows that being a stay-at-home mom was not in her plans. And at that time, she didn't fully understand the magnitude of being a mom, and as such, completely left her career and started the stay-at-home mom life. This has been quite the journey for her. And as a mom of two girls, she started to really resent her life, and it often showed up with anger with her kids. Children are our biggest mirrors, Natalie says, and whatever it is we don't want to face will stay staring at us until we are ready and willing. When her health really started to take a toll, she started to be willing to look at the one thing that she had the most control over, herself. Like I said, I am so grateful to have this conversation today. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here today, Natalie. And yes, hello.
Thank you. Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me. This is wonderful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I want to start with you. Why don't you tell us about what does redefining motherhood mean to you? What does that mean for you? What called you forward to join us on this podcast?
Well, I think my impression or my version or my story about what motherhood could look like was very much altered after having kids. And what's funny enough, it wasn't altered just after having it for me. But like my first daughter, I still thought about 4 months in, when she was 4 months old, that I would still go back to work, and I would. I still had that picture that I had painted for myself prior to having kids. But mm-hmm. then as she grew, things had changed, circumstances had altered, and as such, I ended up staying at home, right, which was not in my plan at all. But I really got a chance to, there's so many beautiful moments that I was able to capture and be part of that I would have, but then things started to kind of take a turn. I started to think a bit more about myself and what needs I had and how could I feel fulfilled in this life that was created, I want to say for me because I contributed to it, but it wasn't in my plans. And then all of a sudden I'm living this life that I didn't plan for and I wasn't being fulfilled. And then that often showed up in resentment and anger and did I make the right choices and blah, blah, blah. So it was redefining motherhood evolved as I continued the journey. And it's still evolving to this day. Yeah. I feel like my definition of motherhood for me is working. Not perfect, but it's working. And that gives me light and that gives me fuel and that gives me energy and it gives me love, and that's, I'm able to now share that more openly with my family.
So beautiful. Thank you. So how old are your girls?
Yeah, right now I have a 6.5-year-old and a 3.5-year-old. And they're feisty.
Yeah. Jennifer Kalarty, she was on the podcast and she calls them feisty spicy. I love that.
Yes, she actually coined the term gladiator kid, which is exactly what my firstborn is. She's a gladiator kid to a T. And I had struggled a long time with her temperament because, quite frankly, I'm pretty much the same temperament. She's a complete mirror of me in many ways.
And this is your firstborn, your 6.5-year-old. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So what we had originally started, the way I originally experienced that was I would define it as a challenging child.
Okay.
But I, in labeling that, it really had obviously a very negative connotation to it. And I knew that the qualities that she was possessing, which were very, you know, feisty, very strong-willed, super tenacious, all of those wonderful skills for a CEO or someone who's an entrepreneur, it's trapped in the body and mind of, at that time, when she was like 3, and she started expressing herself in that way.
Right.
And it was really difficult to parent. It is very difficult to parent a child like that. Mm-hmm. And so many things that people are telling me, well, you should do this and you should do that. Well, you should be more stern with her, and you should, like, a wide breadth of advice was given to me. And when I would try things, they wouldn't work. Okay, I wasn't doing them right, or something's wrong with my child, or something's wrong with my parenting. Like, all of these questions started to come into play. And the you know, now in reflection, mm-hmm. when I look back, because now I have, you know, I have another daughter, and I'm very clear when people would tell me, oh, it's just a stage she's at and blah, blah, blah. I'm very clear. It wasn't just a stage. She mm-hmm. has a particular temperament mm-hmm. that is absolutely beautiful, but very difficult to parent.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's your first child, for me, it was very confusing, because I'm like, okay, yes. I'm trying all this stuff. It's not working. What the heck is going on? And like, as I was saying, now in retrospect, when I look back with my other daughter, I can see when she, you know, is strong-willed, for example, it's not the same level as my first daughter was.
Oh,
it's just not.
Wow. So
I'm very clear. And mind you, I'm very aware that I'm also a different parent with my second daughter, right? I've learned a lot.
Right.
So I'm using what I learned on, I always say, our first child, which is the guinea pig child, really. We're totally learning so much. I'm using a lot of those skills on my second child that I didn't, that I'm now also using on my first child, but obviously they're different stages now, different ages. So it's a little bit different. But I'm very clear, like, when people were telling me, do this, do that, blah, 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 it wasn't working because it didn't work for her temperament, and it didn't work for our dynamic until I found out Jennifer Clary's work, and I loved her work. And I love the way that she coined that very, what otherwise would be called a challenging child or a oppositional defiant disorder.
Yeah.
Child.
Yes. Yes.
All these negative connotations. Yes. She coined it as a gladiator kid, which is so beautiful.
I love it.
I love it because it's like,
yeah,
she is a gladiator child, and there's a certain way to help parent. And anyway, she goes into detail on how to do that, but I love her techniques.
So this is what I love about this conversation. I love it all. So I'm going to back it up a little bit. So the first, one of the most powerful things you just said was help to parent, because as much as they are all gladiators, there's this beautiful dynamic or synergy between mom and child, and the mom and dad, and then like child within the family. And I also am so connected to Jennifer's work and what she's bringing forth. And her and I have had some conversations about how today's children are different because we all have evolved. And the idea that we can parent them the same way that we did 30, 40 years ago, that is absolutely wild. And there's two things that I think are really troubling with that. That puts in a tremendous amount of pressure on parents to feel as though they're doing what they grew up learning, and then it's not quote unquote working. And so then they immediately, if not, if I can just say for myself, go, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? Right. And then the other part is this whole idea that, well, kids are kids, and like what worked worked, and you just have to apply that. And if it's not, then there's something wrong with the child, and then there needs to be a label applied to that. And I just think I've had some conversations with family and friends, and I said, like, we've evolved everywhere. In every industry, we have evolved. Why wouldn't children and parenting and behavior and temperaments, and I love that you talk about temperaments, because I think we're really uninformed about what a temperament is. And I love that because it is unique to a child and it does give a parent permission to say, okay, this isn't about me. This is about me really starting to, and no one can see me but you right now, but like move and glide.
Dance. And, I call it the dance.
Yeah, this beautiful rhythm of what we're doing and what our children need from us. And, you know, Jennifer talks about us being the substitute frontal lobe and how empowering as a parent. And so now after all that, I would love to hear what your understanding and how you've interpreted Gladiator Child into your family specifically. Because I think for some of our listeners, this may be a very new concept, but maybe one that they could, once they hear it, will be like, wow, like I'm in the same place.
Yeah. And I want to touch on what you said about, you know, Gladiator kids, and Jennifer says this, there are more, we see more and more of them these days because yes, we have, as a humanity, we have evolved. And it's interesting. You made a comment before of how, you know, we look at the generational parenting and how we were parented. I really felt lost because, you know, I'd be like, the self-criticism would be like, well, my grandmother had six kids and she was working. How could she handle it? And I can't. My mom had three kids. She was working. How could she handle it? And I can't. Well, the kids have really changed. They're not the, you know, this is the parenting paradigm now is completely turned to what it was before. So it's no longer a child just sits there and listens and based on fear. Parenting is not based on fear. Well, some parents, people do parent that way, but we know that that's not the best way to parent. We understand the pedagogy of children. We understand how they are learning, how to best nurture that development. And that was one of the, things when I had gone to, a challenging child workshop. Yeah. And one of the things that really didn't sit well with me was I don't want to suppress the Gladiator kid.
Yeah.
Because suppressing her, it's a, again, it's this dance between how do you parent her with some structure and some obviously guidance, and you know, you are the parent obviously, but in a way that is not fear based,
yes,
which is extrinsically motivated based, which is very easy to do, and we all do those things. I still do those things, but I don't do them in the way that like, for example, I don't say, okay, well, if you do this, you're not going to get that. Like, that's not how the conversation goes anymore. Mm-mm. And I just know that I didn't want to suppress who she was because a Gladiator child, that temperament is a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. It really is. But I have to parent. Yes. So to your point, like, how do I see it in my family? Well, the reality is, you know, just for example, for myself, my two girls, the eldest, yes, she is, you know, to a T, a Gladiator kid. Is my second one, not to a T, but I definitely see elements of it. And I want to help foster those and nurture them. And parent at the same time while making my sanity.
I was just going to say, wait a minute. Give it to us. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just need a little bit of sanity.
Yeah.
So parenting within my family, parenting the Gladiator child, what it means in our family is giving a lot of choice. And I don't want to say, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, you can choose, do you want the red pajamas or the blue pajamas? I'm not talking about that kind of choice. A typical kid will be okay with like two choices, maybe three, but a Gladiator kid, she'll think outside the box. She'll be like, you know, oh, do you want the red pajamas or blue pajamas? No, I want the pink dress to go to sleep. It's not even pajamas. It's a totally different thing. So it's choosing your battles really, really well, and just like giving the control. If it's not hurting, and you know, Barbara Coloroso talks about this as well. If it's not hurting, you know, they're not in danger.
Yeah.
Then you know, just let it manifest itself. Let it happen. Let that dynamic dance a little bit, so they learn how to negotiate. You learn how to negotiate. You know, the biggest challenge is the ego. The parent's ego is totally upfront. It's the for most parents, the ego is the defining puppeteer on how we control, how we speak to our children, how we, the choices that we make. That is the thing that usually drives everything in our parenting.
Right.
And it's often because we are worried about how we will look.
Yeah.
We're worried about, well, if our child isn't sitting nicely in church or isn't sharing nicely with the other kids on the play date, well, then we aren't a good parent.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause every child should be able to share. Right. And I have such a different concept on sharing now. Right.
Yes,
right. Cause it's like, why? Like if my daughter's playing with that, she shouldn't have to share that with you. You just have to ask. And if my daughter says no, then that's okay. And you can wait. But I have to step in and I have to model that for her. I'm not just going to get her to give that up. But I get with everything that goes on in our world to be open and have the space to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. That does take a lot of energy and it takes a lot of time. And I think it really, you know, we've got to align with our values. Like, are we willing to do it differently? That's the biggest question. Are we willing to do this differently and let the ego go that I'm going to be different than my mom and my dad and because they were different than their parents too. But I do think we're in a completely different space that not many parents before us can relate or understand because they just don't know. So
that wasn't their paradigm. Those were my parents, your parents, many of our parents were either first generation to this country.
Yes.
Or they were children of war parents. Yep. Like they didn't have time for that stuff.
No, they were surviving.
They were trying to build a life for us. Totally get it. So now we're in a position to really step up the parenting, evolve the parenting. Mm-hmm. And really make a difference for ourselves, for our kids, and for future generations. Absolutely.
And it reminds me no one else can see you, but one day when the videos are released, they will. So it's like you're doing, you know, you're chunking your hands up, and all I visually see is like, you know, I think Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? And it's like we are in a position in our life and our parenting paradigm where we have the basic necessities built in and our foundation is built. So it's like now we have the capacity. You know, we potentially, some of us have the capacity to go, okay, how can I shift? How can I evolve? And what does that look like? So I'm going to bring it back to the basics because you said it's not just about the red or the blue pajamas. It was about the dress. Okay. So take me back before you knew about a gladiator child, because I know what I've been working through, right? My education, I've always had a key interest in children's psychology and behavior and development. I did training as a social worker, and then I spent years working with moms and children. And I just love attachment theory. I love just science and children's development. Okay. However, I'm a human.
You are, yes.
Yeah. And so I know what that situation brings up for me. So I want to hear from you, and then I'll share mine. Before you knew about a gladiator children, you would give your daughter a choice. Like, what was going on for you when she wouldn't pick the red or blue? Like, can you take us through that? Because I think that's where we can relate and connect.
Yeah, it was frustrating. Mm-hmm. It'd be frustrating because those tactics typically worked for most kids. Mm-hmm. But with the gladiator kid, they just like, you can't, like, that paradigm of parenting that you were used to, even if you try to mold it into your current paradigm, you can't with gladiator kid. Mm-hmm. So before understanding she was gladiator kid, there was a lot of power struggle, that's what it was. It was all about, she wanted to be the master of whatever it was. Like even to this day, if she says a word or even spells a word incorrectly and I say, oh, you know, by the way, this is, I don't correct her I'm very loving with it. I'm like, oh, by the way, I think it's spelled this way. Oh no, I want to spell it this way. Okay. Like, not a battling in issues. Are you going to fail in life because you don't know how to spell that word, right now? No. But that's how determined. That's how determined she
determination is. Determination is the absolute quality of a gladiator child.
Absolutely. That tenacious determination to do whatever it is that makes them feel in control. And that's a big key with gladiator kids. So, but prior to understanding that, there's a lot of power struggle, a lot of frustration.
And then how would that internalize in your world, in your heart, in your mind?
It internalized so with such a, a disease almost, like, and I can say that because it eventually manifested in thyroid cancer. Like that's when I got that news that I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer, I was like, like this fighting that I'm doing, this struggling that I'm doing, will just survive. Right. Even if on some days I can mentally, because I'm also tenacious, I'm also very strong-willed. Even if I can handle it mentally, my body was not handling it.
Right. Okay. So thank you for sharing that with us. Mm-hmm. And where are you now on that journey of thyroid cancer?
So it's still a journey. I'm part of a study. It's a pretty new study where I didn't feel comfortable doing the traditional methodology, which was to remove. I didn't feel comfortable doing that at the time. I'd done some research, and although that was the advice, there was this study that's happening, and I'm part of it. I'm currently part of it. Okay. And it's just monitoring it. So after doing a lot of research, after understanding exactly what the implications could be, and understanding, I'm really clear of the mind-body connection. Very clear. So in my mind, it's like, even if I were to take it out, what else would manifest in my body? If I don't manage and help to, like, really, I don't want to say control, but help calm whatever it is that's creating that disease, ease that's no longer there. Right. If I can't do that, something else is going to happen. So I'm part of the study to help make sure that, you know, I'm being smart about it, and I'm monitoring it. I want to be here for my life with my children and see them grow. And I'm very clear if something doesn't shift in my mindset, if something doesn't shift in the way that I'm parenting, that it's going to manifest in some other way. And this is like, you know, I don't have teens yet.
Yeah.
But I hear a lot about teens. Yeah. And I often think, and you know, my gladiator kid, she acts like a teen at times. Slamming doors, talking back, calling me names, those are all things a teen typically does.
Totally.
And when you say, any typical six-year-old who says that, if you sternly tell them, or, you know, have some kind of extrinsic motivation to say, no, you can't do that, otherwise, blah, 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 you're going to get in trouble, that might work on a typical child. But the gladiator, she doesn't care. She wants to do what she wants to do.
Yeah, that determination, right?
That determination. And I often see gladiator children just a smaller, younger version of a teen. So when this was happening with my daughter, before I understood gladiator kids, I often thought, holy shit, can I say that?
Yeah.
Holy crap. Yeah. If I don't get the foundation of how to figure this out now, when she's a teen, I'm super screwed. Because it won't be about slamming the bedroom door and locking yourself in that door. It could be about her taking off and running to go hang out with, I don't know, someone who's not a good influence, or go and do drugs. I don't know. It could be like a plethora of things.
Yeah.
So that was a huge thing that played in my mind as well.
Mm-hmm. So interesting, because when I asked the question around how did you internalize that, I was wondering, and I was curious, like, what the voice inside your head maybe have said, because for myself, and I definitely didn't know that that's where you were going to go in terms of the dis-ease in your body. And so I just want to thank you for sharing that with us and, you know, just really being mindful of your space and your journey and sending you all the love. And I'm just like sending all of the light towards you. What I wanted to share in terms of just in terms of my experience, I'm going to go where you just took us there, is the, I don't know 100%. I haven't officially done work with Jennifer yet, but I have read a bit and I've had some conversations with her. I have an idea that my daughter is a gladiator child. You know, I'm pretty certain, told way before she was here. So I have some thoughts on that. But when I think about how I'm trying to create a safe and secure, stable environment, both mentally, emotionally, physically for her in our home and in our hearts, if I were to give her a choice of blue or red pajamas, yeah. And she said no, the first thing that would happen for me is I want to create a routine and I want structure and I want to be able to show you that this is a safe space and I want to give you a structure so that you feel safe because you know what's going to be expected. And so if she were to say no, she wants to wear a dress, I would totally be open and willing, but I would, my ego, as you said, would be fighting. Yeah, but that's not what my mom did. Yeah. You know, my mom was able to, because my mom, one day I was like, hey mom, like what was I like when I was a little girl? And like, I've heard stories growing up, but it's different when you become a parent. And so she starts describing me. Brandon and I look at each other, we go, did you just describe Hannah or did you describe me? Like, this is wild. And so I had all these flashbacks come back and I was like, oh my gosh, like this is, like you just kind of, I saw myself so differently. And so I find that, you know, it's definitely not a battle. I think I've let down a lot of my weapons with my ego or being, you know, really stopping that war with myself. But right. And thank you, you know, Eckhart Tolle for writing A New Earth because it's incredible.
Yes.
But it is, it's that war with self because one of the questions I ask is like, if my answer is no, then the next question is, well, why not? And if they're not in trouble and if they're not safe, like you said, they think outside the box. So if she wants a dress, what does that mean for her personality? What does that mean for who she is? Because if we are evolving and our children are the future and they're going to take us further than we have where we are now, who are we to decide whether it's blue or red pajamas if they want to wear a dress and a tiara, as long as it's not like, you know, really hard?
Yeah, exactly.
So I find that fascinating. And I just think, you know, it's one of those everyday activities that we're doing. And I think when we can create that perspective or just shift our perspective on that activity, like for me, I know what I'm up against when I'm trying to create the safety and I heard what you're up against. But when we actually say, okay, well, if my child is a gladiator child, they're here because they're determined and they know what they want. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with whether or not I'm a good enough mom, which is definitely where I was for a long time.
Yes.
And I'm not saying I'm not out of that. I definitely can experience that from time to time. But what is interesting is this permission piece, this permission that our children who we are putting in a gladiator space, when you talk about slamming doors and all of these pieces, I see that as an emotional release, like their energy and they feel things so intensely that they've got to get it out of their body. And I think when we label that as disobedience, you know, the question I ask myself is, who am I to decide what is disobedient? Like if I'm here to teach people how to manage their emotions and then I have a daughter that's 20 months old and like very expressive, right?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, and I think that's part, well, and that's definitely part of any child, helping them understand and label emotions is so imperative. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things is we, again, weren't taught that just because our parents didn't have that space or that knowledge. We didn't, the pedagogy around how a child's brain develops wasn't as sophisticated as we have it now, and it won't totally be as sophisticated as it will. And it'll keep on evolving.
Yeah.
But right now, we know that understanding and labeling emotions for ourselves, modeling that first of all, and also for our children, will help them be with the emotion.
Mm-hmm. Be with the emotion. Yes, yes.
Yes. Help them be with the emotion. But that is very difficult to do if you yourself have not been taught that, or you just are starting to practice.
Yes. That. Yes.
So you have to, as a parent, you need to start modeling that. You know, when I get into it, because these things still happen with my daughter, not the same frequency.
Yeah.
But when they do, I'll say, one of the things I can say to her is, you know what? I'm starting to get upset about this. Mm. I'm starting to get upset about this. What I used to say, so you know, is you're making me upset.
Ah.
You're making me upset. I give her the power.
Mm.
And I was like, wait a minute. And this is, again, with the gladiator child, it just throws it right back in your face when she says the same thing back to me. You're making me upset, honey. And I don't ever want my kid to think that someone else has that power over her, including myself.
Yes. Yes.
So giving her some tools on how to identify those emotions by modeling them. That's important.
Thank you. Thank you. I was going to say the biggest tool is like really doing it for ourselves, right?
Yes. And communicating out loud. This is a journey we're on together. This is not like I need to be the know-all parent and the know-all teacher, and I'm going to bestow this information on you. No, this is a journey. We are evolving together. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to communicate as I'm going through it. This is, by the way, first child, you are my first child. This is the first time I've done this. So, I'm learning alongside with you. Yes, I have a lot of tools. Yes, I have a lot of ways to guide you. And the biggest thing, let's go back to this whole thing about safety and routine and all of that. Those things are important in many ways.
Yeah.
And you need to create that safety. But with the gladiator child, who's always, always pushing the envelope.
Mm-hmm.
With a gladiator child, you can still create a sense of safety
mm-hmm.
without the routine, but with unconditional love.
Yes, yes, yes.
That is really, really hard to do at times.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the journey that I am still on.
And wouldn't you say we're always going to be on? Right?
Yes.
Like, you know, I feel like there's so much greatness in this that I want to share with. So I feel like, number one, I don't know if you would agree, but I believe our children picked us, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And so it's like, okay, so in the deepest, darkest moments, she chose me and I chose her because we decided we were going to do life this way together, mm-hmm. right? And, that here's the thing, and this is what I definitely focus on in my practice, in my coaching practice, is that you're allowed to have that feeling and that thought, but you're also allowed to be human and express all that emotion that comes along with, like again, we're allowed to, not allowed, but we are going to swear that it is a mind fuck, all of it. And yes, this is the first time in your whole life you've ever had a 6.5-year-old who is, you know, 50 days old, you know what I mean? Six years old and 50 days. Like, this is the first day you've ever had this. And I think that's where we get to give ourselves permission to be, you know, give us the grace, and that this is a practice. And I think the best gift we can ever give our children is to be like, hey, you know, mama's learning this too. Because when I just think in my head, when she grows up, I want her to be able to say, I'm allowed to practice and I'm allowed to it's not a question of right and wrong. I'm allowed to practice. And some days it's going to be really helpful, and some days it won't be, but I'm going to learn some really cool gems in that space. And you had said to be with the emotion. And I think the only way that we can evolve with our children to be with that emotion is that if we're okay to do that for ourselves. And that's where I think no one learned this in school. Right?
Yeah, no, exactly. No.
So I think we're all on this journey together. And I think that's where a lot of these resources are coming forward. I know that's definitely something I'm really passionate about, is how do we create the emotional release with the logical understanding and feeling powerful? Yes. But I think what was really cool, what you said, is like for a gladiator child to know that they are unconditionally loved. Right. And it's interesting if you think about a gladiator's momentum or goal in life is to push, you know, everything. Because, and I'm just going to make this up, right? I'm just going to totally make this up. Mm-hmm. It's like a constant, mom, I'm going to do this. Do you love me? Mom, I'm going to do this. Do you love me? Mom, I'm going to really push it. Do you still love me? And it's like, it's not like a nasty, ill kind of thing, but it's like, right? Yes. A push. No one can see me, but absolutely. I'm like pushing.
And you know what's really interesting about this for me, at the beginning of this journey, when she was probably about 2.5 years old, maybe even two, and she started, some of this started to come out, this gladiator temperament, I really just thought it was malice. I'm like, why is she doing that to me? Mm-hmm. I take it so personal. Yes. And how could you not? You gave birth to this child. And I understand why people take parenting so personal, but this is not about you. Mm-mm. It is not. This is something she's doing. She's exploring it. Now, the example that you just gave of, you know, yeah, I'm going to do this. Mom, do you still love me? This dance, okay, can still happen. And we can still set boundaries.
Yes.
In a way that is receptive to a gladiator child.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what they need it.
Absolutely. Every child needs to feel that safety. That's why routines are so, and structure are so important. But again, as we talked about, this is not, a gladiator child does not, they always want to push beyond the routine and the structure. Mm. So when you have a child who's really pushing those boundaries, imposing the structure, imposing the routine is only going to make things worse. So when you can, allow that dance to happen. Mm-hmm. It can give you the ability to have some power in the unconditional love part of it, which is very tough to do. It is very tough to do because you just want to get to going to school, or you just want them to go to bed, or blah blah blah. It's your agenda. I get it. It's our routine. It's our schedule. I get it. We have life to do. I get it. This child, as with many children, and probably all children, they don't have that agenda.
Yeah.
When you and I were 3 years old, 6 years old, not like, okay, well, we have to go to the dentist and then we have to go and make dinner. They don't give a crap.
No. Our concept of time is so not ours. And I think part of our role is to create that sense of time. And the whole time you're sharing this, I keep hearing rhythm. It's like letting go of this routine and more getting into a rhythm and allowing the flexibility to grow within that. Because I think when we say, here's my container, right? This is some parents would call it like a yes space, right? But I'm talking mental and emotional. Let me give you a safe container where this is the rhythm of our day and we can flow between that. So it's like, yes, I have power, right? Because I'm the parent and you need me to set limits for you in this container, but you also get to express yourself within this container. And I think when stepping into that role as a parent, it's not about taking it personally. You know, and I'm not saying, again, just like you had said earlier, I'm not perfect. I'm on this journey as well. But that is something I definitely keep as a high intention in my world. There are days when we've got to get out the door. One of the things that Jennifer and I were talking about on one of our podcast episodes was that we can always repair through mirroring, right? Like the repair happens through mirroring. So it's like, you know, we talked about if something happened one day and we don't get back to it till the next day, but we show up and we utilize her technique, the calm and the repair.
Yes.
That's what has the most impact. And I think as a parent and as a mother, there's so much freedom and forgiveness for self-compassion. And if I can do that for myself and I can model that in front of my daughter, I feel like I'm building her emotional resilience. And I feel like that is like my priority in her life, you know?
Yes. It's I think it even goes beyond emotional resilience, just resilience as a human being, because, you know, again, before understanding all of this, had I tried to put those rules on her and impose on her, that dynamic, when it would just first of all, it would backfire on me. Yeah. Very frustrating. Yeah. There's something beautiful in letting your kid know that you're not perfect.
I agree.
Because if you become, when something would happen and I was hard on myself for A, not doing it right, B, not doing it properly the first time, C, doing it again, mm-hmm. whatever it was, that, even if I didn't express it that way, the energy, the look on my face, all of that.
The nonverbals.
Yeah, the nonverbal,
Like the nonverbal communication, right? Like just that whole.
Yes, but the nonverbal communication of how I felt about myself that I didn't accept.
Yes.
I didn't accept how I was doing it because it wasn't quote unquote perfect. So operating in that way shows that, like, if you're trying to be the perfect parent, or not even show how vulnerable you can be, like when you show that you can, that vulnerability and that you're not perfect, you're giving not only yourself permission to do that, but your child, and they are learning to do that for themselves. So then they build that resilience for themselves, that it's okay. I can have compassion for myself and evolve myself as I'm going through this journey and learn.
Yeah.
There is no right or wrong, but learning what works for me, what doesn't work for me, what's serving me, what's not serving me. And being able to have that compassion is key.
I agree. Totally
agree. If we don't have it for ourselves, they're not going to have it for themselves. And if I don't have it for myself, I'm definitely not having it for her either. And then she might become not her, because she's a gladiator child, but but another typical child, my other daughter, if I impose that way, my other daughter might become the yes, no, the people pleaser child. And I don't want that either.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, think people pleaser child, which is so like the opposite of the gladiator child, but really you want them to have that self-expression.
Yeah, self-expression and being able to just think outside the box, and how do we nurture and foster that, which is what you were sharing before. So listen, you and I could talk all day. And you're just going to come back. That's just how we're going to do it.
Okay.
But in a really high chunk, because I think what you have shared is your personal journey of just, you know, coming through this and not really feeling like you had choice, you know, this wasn't what you chose, and then being able to go out and get the resources and find the I'm going to call them tools that have really helped you step into the mom you want to be. For me, that is what redefining motherhood is. It's about saying, I'm going to let go of these old paradigms and step into a space that says, I'm going to do it on my terms, which means, who am I? Who do I want to be? And who do I want to be for my children? Right?
Yes. And I think one of the ways that I have learned to look at it is the modality of parenting that I want to embody at this time might look different, because I'm still evolving.
Yes.
We're all evolving, ages and stages. As life continues on, the modality of parenting may alter. It may change for me.
And that's okay.
It may morph.
Yeah.
It may deepen. I may have to take on something different. Like, I think that is the beauty of redefining motherhood, is you get to choose how it's going to look, how it's going to serve you.
Yeah.
And your family, not just you. It can't be just you. It can't just be about your family. It's got to be about the dynamic that works for you.
Right? Yeah.
And as long as you can find something that really fulfills you and your family, then that could be the definition of motherhood for you at that time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Feeling that fulfillment within your heart. Oh, I got goosebumps everywhere. So I always end my podcast interviews this way, but I'm going to switch up just a little bit. So you think about your future and you think about your daughter growing up and you think maybe, so she's six now. So let's say, should she decide to be a mom and she's going to have her first child, what are the words of wisdom, knowing everything you know now, just today, who you are and who you've become and who you know her to be? What are the words of wisdom you want to share with her?
The best way to parent is to understand what works for you first. Because you can only control yourself. You can't, don't think that you can puppeteer your kids. Yes, you can guide them. Of course, you should provide the essentials. Of course, that's what you do as a parent. And give them the freedom and the space to be who they were meant to be.
I got goosebumps. Thank you.
Way easier said than done. I just don't know what that is.
Of course. But with that, there's so much heart and there's so much intention within that. And I think that it's not a how-to, it's a permission, right? And I think that's what a lot of moms, I know just for me, is a constant conversation with myself of permission. You know, what am I okay with and what am I not okay with? And checking in with myself. So I really do, that feels really good. So I am wanting to share with you. So if our listeners wanted to find out a little bit more about you or ask you any questions, you've got some really cool things going on. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yes, I have. I'm creating a whole bunch of summits. I created one on the Evolving Family Summit, as you know, because you're a part of that. So that is going to be up and running on my website very soon. Okay. So I'll give you those details. But the site is www.evolvingnatalie.com.
Cool.
Yeah, so that is, please visit and see what resources are there to help support you. I'd love to walk this journey with you.
Cool. Thank you so much, Natalie. It was such an honor to have you here and to hear your story. Thank you for sharing, and we will definitely have you back.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. I am so grateful. I want to invite you to join our Facebook group, Redefining Motherhood More Than Moms. You can find the link in the show notes below. And if you want to find more information, more resources, and stories, you can subscribe to our weekly More Than Moms journal. I want you to remember that you are doing the best you can with the resources that you have. You are loved, you are worthy, and you are enough. You got this, Mama.